Now we'll introduce our guest speaker for the morning. Thank you. Nice to be here with you. Just kidding. It's Jared's turn to lead singing this morning, and Jared is sick. And so everybody I talked to this morning was sick. So Matt said he's leading next week, and his voice is shot. Jim said he's struggling today from the dust from the dumpster. So anyway, so you'll have to deal with me twice, I guess. Let's get it all over in 1 week, right? Okay. So I was trying to figure out what I was going to speak on today, and I thought, I need to do something that relates to our experiences yesterday. And I thought, a day in the dumpster. I thought that would be a good lesson for today. And I thought, here, it could be the 3 points. The 3 points could be, first point could be, it's always good to prioritize and to plan ahead before you just throw a bunch of stuff in the dumpster. You can fit much more stuff into your dumpster if you plan and you prioritize, right, Chris? Kind of stack it neatly. There was a massive pile of stuff that went in that dumpster out there. What happened was that we thought the dumpster is plenty big. We're gonna have tons of space for everything. Well, then we realized we were throwing stuff in, and it was not all gonna fit. Matter of fact, most of it was not gonna fit. And so Chris, and I don't know who else, we lost the Ryder Cup. Dang it. So Chris jumps back in the dumpster and throws everything out, and we start over. When I say we, I mean they. I didn't help that with that part. And we were able to get a massive pile and even more stuff than we thought we would get. So that could be point number one. Point number two is, if you're going to spend your life in the dumpster, you're going to get dirty. Okay? So stay out of the trash of life because you're going to get dirty. Okay? The other one is, and this one is definitely true, is you can't do anything without a team. We got so much stuff done yesterday. You just wouldn't, those of you that weren't able to be here, got a lot of things cleaned. I forgot who it was, maybe Jaquan. Jaquan's like, where do we get all this stuff? Was that you who said that? Yeah, he was just like, where'd all this stuff come from? It came out of one church, for goodness sakes. I mean, it was lots and lots of junk that we had accumulated, and it was great to have our team of people here yesterday to help. And I have to say, I think probably those three guys worked harder than anybody. Kent, Jaquan, and Darius, they worked their tails off yesterday. Of course, Jim had a whip, and he was whipping them every step of the way. But no, wasn't true. They did it mostly without prompting. But I appreciate all those that came to help, and it really does help to get that. If you've noticed out back, we've got that shed torn down. We've got the pad cleared. Jared, it was a great idea. That was an excellent idea. Too bad you weren't here to help. Yeah. I'm not taking any more of your suggestions unless you show up. Yeah, we saw that. Yeah, that was nice of you. Although, that's the better half to help. I mean, really, really. I didn't hear any complaining or anything. It was awesome. But anyway, if you look back there, if you didn't notice this morning, we got the basketball goals moved back there. It's going to be a great thing. Once we get some lights back there, it's even going to be better. So we're going to start working on a few things like that. It's kind of ironic that during the lesson today, I've already used this phone for about four different purposes. Aren't smartphones great? Aren't smartphones awful? It's one of those things to where they're awesome and they have so many uses. But we use them for so many more things than they were actually intended to use for. These things actually do make phone calls. You know? I mean, do we even actually make phone calls anymore? You know, mostly it's texting or, well, two-handed for some of the kids. You know, for me it's the old one-hand, one-finger method. That's why my texts are usually like one word or one small phrase. They're doing like books in like 4 seconds, you know. But you can play games, and you can watch TV, and you can do all these things on this phone. But it was really intended to do what? Make phone calls, right? One of the interesting things about cell phones, one thing is we use them for so much more than they were actually intended to be used for. But the other one is, there's this little button on the side. It's really great to be able to receive a call at any time, right? In case it's an emergency or for your husband or your wife or whatever. But you're in the middle of something important or you're doing something and people are always bothering you, right? Calling you, asking you questions, or calling you salespeople trying to sell you something or whatever it is. And there's this little button on the side that if you push it, it basically ignores the phone call. Everybody's figured that button out, right? I use that button a lot, okay? I'm at school and I'm in the middle of teaching and the phone goes off, you know, and so you have to... Or there's this cool thing that you could put it on silent and it'll just buzz, right? You can still hear it buzzing and it's annoying, but you know that, and oh, well, I'll get back to them sometime, right? Here's the thing that I want us to kind of talk about for a minute today is God is calling. But so often, we hit the button. God calls, and we hit the button. Put it on silent. I'll get back to it. I'll get back to you, God. Just hold on 1 minute. I've got some really important things that I'm doing, but I'll get back to you. I'll get right on that. As soon as I do those important few things that I need to do, just like we do with our phone calls. If you were to open up your list and look at your list of missed calls, there'll be several things on, several people, oh, yeah, I should have called them back. Oh, yeah, I didn't even know they called me. Oh, yeah, I mean, these things stay with us like 24/7, right? And yet so many times we miss even important phone calls. We miss even important texts that come our way, and somehow we miss them. Sometimes I don't intend to ignore them. I just miss them. In the Old Testament, well, all throughout the Bible, there are people that God called. We've talked about some of them the last few weeks. We've talked about Abraham, and we've talked about Joseph and Dave. We've talked about several of these characters over the course of the last few months as people are speaking and preaching to us. And God usually comes to them at a time they do not expect, to ask them to do something that they do not expect. And typically, they either say, well, I don't think I can accomplish that, or they try to push the mute button and I'll get back to you on that. Or maybe they miss it altogether the first time or two. Sometimes they just blatantly just don't do what God asks them to do. And I wonder how many times in our life, how many times in my life, I've missed the call. How many times I've missed what God is asking me, what He's requiring me to do in my life. We've been studying in our class at school, we've been studying the Old Testament, and right now we're on the patriarchs, and we've just got through talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I think about this call that Abraham got. He's just sort of living his life, just sort of doing his thing. And God comes to him out of the blue and says, Abraham, I need to use you for a very special purpose. I've prepared you up to this point in time for this specific, special task. And that is to be the leader, to be the father of a very special nation. And so he comes to Abraham. It says, go out, this is Genesis chapter 12, verse 12, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so what does he basically say to him? First of all, let's kind of understand, and I know everybody knows this. I think JJ maybe has even talked about this in some of his lessons from the Jewish kind of perspective. But what is a covenant? Okay, a legal contract. When I asked this question in my class at school, the very first answer was always, it's a promise. And that is true up to us an extent, right? It is a promise. But it's so much more, right? It's a legal contract between two parties. And in God's case, this is how He usually deals with it. He says, if you do this, then I will do that. And normally all the time, what God does for us is so much more than what we do for Him. Okay? It's like, you take a step and I'll give you $1 million. Okay? It's like, but that doesn't seem fair on your part. But that's the way God does things. God has so much more to give, and He knows we can only give so much. And so, it's an agreement between two parties. I'll do this if you will do that. It would be like Brooke's mom coming at her and saying, Brooke, if you clean your room, I will give you $5. She would never do that, would she? No. She says, if you clean your room, I will not give you a spanking. No, I don't know. So, Brooke, hey, I need $5. $5 isn't that much, right? I need to take my boyfriend out on a date. And so, $5, right? We can go to McDonald's and we can split a Happy Meal. Okay? She doesn't have a boyfriend, I don't think. No. Okay. And so she comes down to her mom and she says, okay, Mom, I'm ready for my $5. She said, "Will you clean your? Did you clean your room? No. But I want my $5. And Brooke's mom says, forget it. You're not going to have $5 because you didn't do what I asked. So in this covenant, God says, you do this, and I'll do that, but if you don't do what I ask you to do, then I'm not bound to fulfill my side of the covenant. And that's the way God works with us. It's the way God works with His people, with His children. If the contingency is not met, the second party is not responsible to fulfill its agreement. So God says to Abraham, I want you to do these things. I want you to leave your land. I want you to leave your relatives. I want you to leave your home. And I want you to go somewhere where I'm not going to even tell you where it is. I will lead you, you will follow, and it will end up somewhere that I'm not going to specify. And He says, I will do these things for you if you do those things. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. All people will be blessed through you. To your offspring, I will give the land to which you go. That was not an easy task. We think, oh, well, you know, it probably wasn't that far. It probably wasn't that big a deal. But for Him, it was a big deal. Think of all the things that He had to do in order to make that happen. He was a very wealthy person. He had lots of flocks. He had lots of herds. He had lots of livestock. He had lots of people living with Him. It wasn't just He packed it in a U-Haul and He drove to somewhere. He had to physically move all of His stuff with it, take it with Him. He actually, this is where his father is, this is where they started out over here in Ur. Well, they had gotten, actually a few years before this, they were headed to Canaan. And his father stopped in Haran because the area there is so beautiful. It's an area that, okay, I'm speaking from my not from my class sense here, but there's an area called the Fertile Crescent, and it's one of the most beautiful. It's like modern day Iraq and whatever, but it's one of the most fertile lands of all the world at that particular time. And so they get there and they stop. So that's where he's living at the particular time. He has to pack up and he has to move all of his stuff all the way down, and has no idea where he's even going. It's not a small task what he's being asked. Leave the beauty of where you are outside some of the greatest cities that are in existence at that particular time, and I want you to go to a place. He ends up in a place called Negev, which is basically a desert. No nice cities around it. Nothing. It's not a very fertile place. He ends up in a place that's really not all that great compared to where he left. Abraham, as he continues his journey, begins to wonder, God, this is not a move up here. This is kind of a move down. This is kind of a move away from the things that I thought you wanted me to have. It says, but Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had, all the people he had acquired, and all that they set out for the land of Canaan. And it says, when they came to the land of Canaan, it says down in verse 7, God said, I will give this land to your offspring. It says, so he built an altar there. Lost my place. He built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Which indicates what? When you build an altar to the Lord, what's it indicate? Worship. It's really four kind of, and this applies to us as well, but kind of four pieces to the puzzle of Abraham's faith. Kind of four pieces to the puzzle of our faith as well. The first piece is trust. And trust is not something that comes overnight. It's not something that is just all of a sudden you trust somebody. It's something that's acquired. I think about this, I don't know why this pops into my head, but I think about our middle school class on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. We have a new member of our teaching staff in the middle school. Be awake. Okay. I'm talking about you. Are you awake? Okay. We have a new member of our teaching staff in the middle school. And the kids don't know Chad that well. When he first came in there, they're like, man, who is that tall guy? He's very imposing. And they don't really know how to respond to him or how to react to him. And at first he would say something to them and they would just kind of look like him, who are you, man? You know? But over the course of the last few months, they started to get to know Chad. Chad's starting to get to know them. And there's been a trust level that's built. Last week, Chad taught in the class, and the kids responded extremely well to his teaching. Trust is something that is built over time. And it's the same thing with us with God. It's not something that all of a sudden I trust God. That's what raising our kids in the Lord is all about. It's building that trust level, that ability to trust the Lord. They see the faith level of the parents, and then they're able to build that trust. Second is obedience. Abraham said, you know, God, I think that you'll guide me to a great place, but, you know, I don't really want to go. Trust and obedience. And those two things, they build dependence. But then I've come to depend on God. I come to understand that if I do what He says, He will supply my needs. He will do what He says. He will fulfill His promises. And lastly, it builds praise. It builds praise. Praise is not something that just comes out of a person automatically. We come and you can force praise. You can sing songs of praise. But real praise is built from a person's faith in God, from their dependence on Him. It's an outpouring of their spirit before God. And so you've got these four pieces to the puzzle of our faith. All right, now I'll switch gears a little bit. I want to switch gears from Abraham's calling to your calling. What is your calling in this world? And when I say what is your calling, I don't mean what is the Echo Hills Church calling. I don't mean what is the Reach Program's calling. I mean what is your calling? The thing is, we have several, it's not just one thing, right? First of all, we have to understand, and we already do understand, that there's a general call that goes out to everybody. Okay, it's like one of those group texts that Judy sends out to us, right? All the time we get those group texts. And it's like, I want everybody to know this because this applies to everybody. And there's a couple of things that God gives us that we have to, He gives a call to everyone, regardless of who we are. And one of those, the first of those is the call to obey the gospel of Christ. Acts chapter 2, actually it says in verse 39, the promise is for you and for your children, as many as the Lord our God will call. He actually calls it a calling. And He puts the call out for all of us to obey Him through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, though, He calls us to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Matthew chapter 28, we have all these different passages that say, go into the world and preach the gospel. That's a call for all of those who are His children. And lastly, we have the call to live out the gospel. That's for all of us. It's a general lifestyle of living Christ out in our life. You say, well, Dave, this is stuff. We already know this stuff. This is kindergarten stuff for us. Now the question becomes, what is your call? What is your call? God has a specific plan for every single one of us. And it may be more than one plan, right? It may be more, sometimes it's a general thing more, but sometimes it's a very specific thing. How does God call us? I kind of wish that it was the old days when God would just come tell me what He wants me to know, right? Wouldn't that be the best thing? God just comes to you in a dream, or He comes to you and He just says, well, Darius, this is what I want you to do. Ever happened? No. Okay. I was hoping you would say no. That's probably Jaquan saying something to you while you're asleep. Does God work that way? Does God work that way? Well, I'll put it this way. He hasn't with me. I've never spoken with God personally. He's never come to me in a small, still voice that I know of and said anything to me specifically and said, this is what I want you to do, like He did to Abraham, like He did to Moses and Gideon and Samson and all these different guys of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus called out His disciples, right? I wish that was the way it worked, but that's really not the way that it works. The first way God calls us is through the gospel, through His Word. There are things that I can understand and know through His Word that Jesus is calling me to do. This is an interesting passage for me. It says, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. Different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. And He goes on to give a list of those things that He gives the people the gift to do. So the first thing maybe in determining what my call is, figuring out what my gift is. What is it that God has given me as a gift to provide to those around me, to work in His kingdom to provide to those around me? I could go around probably, and every single one of you that I know personally, which is probably everybody, and I could tell you some gift that I've noticed in you. And probably most of you could do the same for each other, and hopefully you could look in the mirror and you could say, God has given me this particular gift. Now here's the question. Am I using it? Am I using the gift that He's given me for His purposes? Because it says that's why He gave it to us. He activates each gift in each person. See, God is a God of generalities, but He's also a God of, Jeff, here's what I've given you to do. Here's the gift you have, Jeff. Here's the gift you have, Eric. Here's the gift you have, Chris. Now are you going to use it for me? God calls us, believe it or not, I think, through other people. You want to know why, and I give this credit, you want to know why reach is in existence? One person. And probably none of you even know who it is. Anybody want to take a guess? What? Not me. It's not Jim. Jim was too small. I don't even listen to him now. That's true. One guy came to me, and he's a guy that had gone on a couple mission trips with me with our youth group at Rivergate. And we were having lunch. And he said, Dave, there's something that I don't understand. We go to all these churches all over the country, and we do these door-knocking campaigns, and we do these vacation Bible schools, and we bring all these kids in, and we have this awesome week, and like 95% of the time we know that when we leave, nothing will ever be done. They're never going to pick those kids up again. They're never going to make contacts with those people. They're never going to go back out and try to continue anything that we've started. Why don't we do this here? I don't understand why we don't do this at Rivergate. Not only does it sound stupid, but I'd never thought about that. It's just like, doing. We go all, we spend all money on, go all these different places, and it was all worth it. Because honestly, what I think God was doing was preparing me and preparing others within our group to start something, to do something at home. And so that day we started planning. I said, well, give me some ideas and let's get something going. And we started planning. The guy that told me that was Chris Branch. And I mentioned that to him like 2 weeks, whenever we had a little party for kids who were going to Harding. And he was there, and I talked to him, and I told him, I said, I was just thinking about this the other day, and I want to thank you for what you, and he was like, I didn't do nothing. You know, he doesn't take any credit for it. But the point is that through Chris's prompting, through his saying, this is what needs to happen, I woke up to something that God maybe had been preparing me for, something that God had been preparing several of us for, to work with our children, and now look, the way, you know, to the extent that it happens and that how ingrained it is in our life and in this community and in this church. God uses other people to push us to see things maybe we don't see for ourselves. Give us opportunities to do things that God wants. And He also places specific opportunities in our life. Can anybody, and I don't know how this will go, but you'd like to share a specific opportunity that God has placed in your life? I knew Jimmy would. Anyone else want to share something? No? Okay. Maddox doesn't? I thought he said no. Matt? Okay. Thank you. Anybody else want to share? The what? The bulletin? I think we can all look, and I guess it's maybe controversial, I don't know, to say that God placed that in my life or the Holy Spirit working or something. You know, I don't know if that's a controversial thing for us to talk about or not. But I think we can all look at places in our life where God placed opportunities, where He gave us a call through the opportunities He placed in our life. Here's the question that I always think about and I always ask myself. Which ones did I miss? If I saw some of them, I had to have missed some of them. And maybe it was because I was too busy. Maybe it was because I had my priorities wrong. Maybe it was because I was just not listening. But God continues to work. He continues to call us to do His work in so many different ways. And the question is this for me and for us. The question is, am I listening? Am I listening? And if I do see the opportunity in front of me, if I do see a door that I think God is opening for me, will I walk through it? Or will I say, I can't do it, this, or I'll make excuses? Or will I ignore the opportunity even exists? Because I have a feeling that God's not done with us. He's not done with me. And it's very easy to get settled and say, oh, well, I'm in charge of the REACH program, and this is where God... But I think there's so much else that I have to offer. I think there's so much else that we have to offer, that you have to offer this world through God's work. And so God is, as He's placing these opportunities in our life, as we see this call, hear this call that God gives us, the challenge is to listen and to accept the challenge, to accept the call that God gives. And that's kind of where I want to... I'm not sure what other slides I have here. Let me end with this. When you think about the call of God, I think about these three things. And there's probably more points I could have put down, but these are just the three that I came up with kind of on top of my head. The first thing is that God's call to us is not always convenient. Abraham was settled into a place. He had lived for a long time. It was a nice place to live. And God took him out of a place that he was comfortable. But God's call is not always comfortable. It's not always convenient. Sometimes I have to think outside the box. Sometimes I have to go outside of my comfort zone in order to do what God asks. And sometimes His call is not always clear. I wish it were as clear as a bell that I could totally understand what God wants me to do, but it's not always that way. But as long as I'm listening, as long as I'm trying to accomplish the tasks that God has put forth in my life, I think that God will be pleased with my efforts. But the question for us today is, the question for you and for me, is what is God calling you to do? What is He calling for you to do in your life? And am I listening? Am I paying attention to what He's saying? Would I even hear it through all the noise of my life? We're going to sing... No, what did I say? What did our song leader say? 555. We're going to sing number 555. And if you have a need this morning, if you'd like to become a Christian, actually there is no water in the baptistry this morning, but we could fill it really quick. It wouldn't be that long to fill if you'd like to become a Christian this morning. If you have a need that you'd like to share with the church, with the congregation, this is just one of those opportunities that we would love to be able to pray with you, to hear what's going on in your life, for you to share something with us that you're struggling with, and that's... this is a good opportunity for that. Let's stand together and let's sing number 555.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye I knock, and the door shall be opened unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.